powerful video, isn't it? Thank God for Joanna Corville, Debbie Gill's sister, and Debbie's work along with her to put that together. Sort of a God thing, because as I was preparing for this message a few weeks ago, and in my study, Debbie came around and we were visiting, and she noticed what I was preparing for, and she said, "You've got to see this. You've got to see this." I said, "What is it?" So she brings this to me, and we look at it together, and I said, "Boy, man, I got holy goosebumps watching that thing." Did y'all get any holy goosebumps this morning? I know it's more than about holy goosebumps, but man, I got some big ones on me, you know? Just a powerful message about our time, which is what Ecclesiastes 3 is about, isn't it? Ecclesiastes chapter 3, you'll find yourself there, and I think together we'll understand that while this is not a theological treatise, certainly it is a statement about human mortality, and Solomon wants us to understand something about the makeup of life and how we live out our lives here on this earth, and how life is, in many ways, it's a grab bag. It's well beyond our control. It's something that while we enjoy, there are experiences that happen that are not what we planned for. And if we could plan for them, we would write them out of the picture of our lives. We just would not want them to be in any paragraph, in any sentence, in any phrase related to our life. I mean, do you have an experience like that? That if you could go back and rewrite your life and rewrite the story of your life, you would just drop that sentence? You said, "No, Pastor, you don't understand. It's not a sentence. It's not a paragraph. It's a book. I would like to drop that whole segment," okay? Maybe it was a month, a year. For some of you, you're still in that experience, and you're saying, "You know, if I could just rewrite a portion of this, it would be wonderful. My life would be different." And yet for all of us, we experience the same amount of time. And God has given us 86,400 seconds of time each day. All of us are given the same amount of time. All of us. And it's a gift from the Lord. How much of it is left at the end of the day? Well, none. That's it. It's a gift for the day. In fact, life is like a coin. You can spend it any way you want to, but you can only spend it one time. And if time were money and every second a penny, then every day would add up to $864. In other words, you've been given $864 of value time every single day, 86,400 seconds, every single one of us. And at the end of the day, we do not get to take it with us to the next day. We fall into sleep and hopefully we get a good night's rest. And the next day we wake up with the gift of time once again. But we're not promised that we're going to have the next day, are we? Every day is a gift. It's a gift from the Lord. And time is so important because while it is a gift, it's something that must be used if it's going to be appreciated. It must be experienced if it's going to be valued. And Solomon is describing these multifaceted events, and he seems to paint the extreme pictures of life. And in doing so, helps us to understand, as we talked a little bit last week, that some things in life are desirable and some things in life are undesirable. We would not want them to happen. Other times in our life, things happen. We think if we could just keep on going in this direction. I mean, things have never been better. You've experienced times like that as well. In fact, if you're not careful, what will happen is life circumstances can become so overwhelming and so difficult that at the time you're experiencing them, it covers the good things that have happened in your life. And what happens is you can become cynical. You know who some of the most cynical people are in this world? Preachers. I know preachers. I know people, but I know preachers, beginning with this preacher. I mean, you go to these conventions and you can hear preachers talk about all kinds of things and the difficulties and the challenges and blah, 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 you know. Sometimes we can be the worst. And one reason that is, and especially if you deal with a lot of people, or maybe if you're in education or if you're in some type of human services, is that you see the great side of what people are doing, but then you also see other things. And in the process of seeing those things, you also see that about your own life. And you can really become cynical. You can really look at life and say, you know, this is life. In reality, it's not. There are good things that happen to good people. They just don't make the news. It's when bad things happen to good people that we are confused, because it just doesn't mesh with what we believe reality should be. That bad things happening to good people, no, that shouldn't happen. That's what makes the news. But keep in mind that for all of us, good things are happening, and good things are happening for good people. It just doesn't appear to be a contradiction when that happens. That seems to be the norm, or that seems to be the right thing to occur. And so we're not taken in by that. We're not, you know, we don't stand back at it and look and say, you know, that shouldn't be happening, that a good thing happened to me. You sit out on your back porch or your front porch, whatever the case is, and you begin to reflect on life, and you realize that over the stretch of time, over the duration of time that God has given you, that 86,400 seconds every day of your life, that good things have happened. And if you look back this past week in your life, you realize that. And so what is Solomon really getting at when he talks about in verse 1 and the following, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven? He said, well, you know, it seemed like we talked about that last week. I know, but we need to talk about it some more, okay? I promise it'll be a little different, okay? The verses are the same, but the applications are enormous. In fact, one of the things, as I shared with the choir this past Wednesday, one of the things that amazes me about this wonderful book, the Bible, inspired by the Spirit of God, is that while there's one interpretation, there are thousands of applications. Depending on where you are in life and your circumstances, how you perceive God, and certainly how you understand yourself and things that are going on. And you look at that and you realize that God's word is so very rich and deep. It's not shallow at all. It finds us where we are, and it shouts at us. And Solomon, in a way, is shouting at us because he's saying, I was a king, but he's shouting at us, we are all mortal people. We're all mortals. And life is full of boundaries. That's the first thing I want you to see. And we've got to move along here. But the first thing I want you to see is that he says in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Life has some boundaries to it. And these boundaries are beyond our control, right? They're set for us when we were born and when we will die. These are the bookends of our life. And we will live everything in between that, as someone has once written, the dash. How did you live the dash of your life? I've read that before at funerals. And that is, how have you lived between the time that you were born and the time that you die and the choices that you made along life's course? And how did you live your life? How did you live the dash? Life has boundaries, and these boundaries are beyond our control. And there are circumstances that occur in our lives that we don't want to occur, and other things that happen that are certainly a great joy. For most of us, we were born within a 9-month period of time, right? How many of y'all took a little longer? So in about a 9-month period of time, I mean, there we were in growth and development. And have you ever thought about, I know this is going to sound crazy, but have you ever thought about the time when you were a little bitty baby? How many of you can remember back beyond, say, 3 years of age? Beyond three, okay? Like, that means you were 1, 2, or 3. I can't remember any of that. I can remember getting spanked in kindergarten, Miss Coggan spanking me. I remember certain events, you know, back there. That left an impression in my mind, especially when I had to repeat her class twice. And so I remember that, you know. But I can't remember much beyond that. I don't know if something happened in my childhood. Probably you think something did. But anyways, you know, I don't know if it did or not. But I just can't remember back then. So there was a time in which I was alive, but I didn't have the capacity to even consider my life. God established my beginnings, and he establishes when I will go to meet him. Life has boundaries, and they're well beyond our control. I wish we could control, but in the midst of all this, Solomon is saying that everything has a time that arrives, and it arrives with meaning. You know, I've heard people say, well, that's just an illegitimate child. Oh, really? No, not at all. There are no illegitimate children. There may be some illegitimate parents, right? But there are no illegitimate children. What did they have to do with this? Praise God, they're here and they're alive, and God has given them life. And while it may not come in the way that we would think that it should come, they're here. We didn't control how we got here. Life has boundaries. There's a time of beginning and there's a time of ending. And every time, everything has a time and it has a purpose and it has a meaning. And it's difficult for us to understand that, especially when things are beyond our control and things are going on that we don't want to happen. But for the child of God, you know, in our study of Romans, it's that great and popular verse that is often quoted, not always in the best context or not always in the best circumstance, but all things do work together for good to them who love God and who are called according to His purpose. To those who love God. We have a promise from our Heavenly Father that He is causing all things to submit. That is, there is nothing that can come into my life that He has not allowed. It doesn't mean He caused it, but it does mean He's allowed it, okay? And that word work together, if you remember, is translated from the Greek word synergio, and it means that He is bringing it all together, and literally it has to bow down. Nothing has happened in your life that God said, oh no, I'm sorry, that slipped up on me. I should have acted differently. There's never been anything that has happened in your life or my life where God said, oh, man, I wish I could do that over for you. God knew these things. And while they are beyond our control, certainly circumstances that we live in, God is in the midst of our lives, if we will simply see that. God, there are boundaries. And the second thing I want you to see is that if you get life out of sync, you're going to be in trouble. And I love the analogy in verse 2. He said there's a right time for birth and another time for death, a right time to plant and another time to reap. Now, I'm not much of a farmer, but I have right here, this is the farmer's Bible right here. It is. Now, according to George Smith, right here, this is the farmer's almanac. Now, he brought me a copy. I called him especially this morning and said, can you bring me a copy? Now, you're wondering why the preacher doesn't have one, because I don't do much farming. But anyways, that's another point. You see, this farmer's almanac is the Bible for planting. This is it. You want to know how to plant? You want to know how to, you know, cultivate? You want to know all those things? This is it right here. And what Solomon is saying is that, you know, there's a time to plant and another time to reap. Now, what if you try to reap during the time that you should be planting? It's springtime. It's time to be planting, right? But if you try to produce a harvest when you should be planting, you're going to be very disappointed. Now, the second thing I want to say, based upon the second verse, is if you get life out of sync, you're in trouble. If you try to plant when you should be reaping, and you try to reap when you should be planting, then something is going to be out of kilter. And this is the problem that many of us experience. We have our daytimers and we have our planners and we have everything, especially planned out. But we don't always see how it falls within God's plan. Oftentimes our schedule is this. We plan it all out and then we say, God bless it. Instead of allowing God to give us direction in our life, right? And then asking Him to bless that. Instead of joining God in what He's up to, we simply say, God, come join me in what I'm doing. We in the church, and particularly, once again, I could indict us preachers, we're some of the worst when it comes to this because we want to have all of our ducks in a row and we want to have everything. And there's nothing wrong with planning, but certainly when you get life out of sync, you're in trouble. And I think that's what he's talking about here. There are some principles that I think that we can take home with us today. The third thing I want you to see as we move into verse 3. He says there's a time to kill and there's a time to heal. There's a time to break down and a time to build up. The third thing I want us to see is that the process of dying and living go on at the same time. I've walked in the early morning hours of a hospital and stood by the side of a loved one who was grieving the loss of their spouse or even a child, where the difficulty of that experience is unbearable, when the weight of life's experience is so pressing in upon them that they don't know how they can go on. And frankly, humanly speaking, they just won't be able to go on but by the grace of God. And yet by the end of the day, to be in the experience of someone grieving the loss of a loved one, yet by the end of the day, to step into the same hospital and be with a couple that's having their first child. You talk about experience in life. Experience of life. Life's experiences. The process of dying and living go on at the same time. Now, I want you to know that this verse is, and also verse 8, is not really dealing with a justification for war or peace. And most of the time, this passage has been quoted. Certainly, it's a beautiful poem. It's a historical piece that people have reflected upon for generations upon generations, and certainly something that we have insights and principles certainly that we can live by. But this is not a peace or a treatise on why we should go to war or that why we should not go to war. Solomon is just, he's just throwing out a lot of life's experiences. And in the Hebrew language, oftentimes what writers did is that they would write in terms of an extreme contrast or this chiastic way of thinking, these extreme points of view so that you will see something, hopefully that you gather some principle from the center of all of this. What I think he's talking about here is that on the one hand, someone is being born. On the other hand, somebody's dying. You know that our body's going through the same experiences. Doctors tell us that every 7 years, all of our cells, except for our brain cells, die, but our bodies do not. All of our cells. Now, I've just read this somewhere, and so, you know, if you're into medicine and you don't understand all this, and you say, no, it's every 8 years, well, just forgive me, okay? But about every 7 years, they say that this is what goes on. That means all the cells in my body, except for my brain cells, I wonder about some of those, you know, that they die every 7 years. You know what that means? There's a new you walking around every 7 years. A new opportunity. You look in the mirror, imagine yourself 7 years ago. You see pictures, right? And you look at those pictures and you look at yourself now and you say, wow, what happened? What happened? There's a process of living and dying that goes on at the same time, and it's well beyond our control. But something else I want you to see in verse 3, he says there's a time to break down and a time to build up. The fourth thing I want to say is that life has observable seasons of strengths and weaknesses in our life. A time to break down and a time to build up. Things that happen, strength and weakness occurring at the same time. Why couldn't time just stop for us? Why couldn't God just sort of stop this moment in time? Well, a few years ago, is Craig Cole here? Then he can't verify this. But a few years ago, I received the gift of time from the personnel committee of our church. I don't know if y'all remember it, but most of y'all were here that Sunday. They gave me this clock, and I was given the gift of time. You see that? Maybe y'all notice what time it's set to. So, come on, help me out. What time is that? 11 what? 11:45. There you go. A little group participation. It's okay. I know you're a little gun shy. You think I'm going to do something embarrassing. I promise I won't do that. I just want you to know that every time I stand and preach, I know it's never later than 11:45. And every time we dismiss this service, I think, you know, it's 11:45. You always get to lunch on time. You always get to meet your friends by 12, wherever you're going. Now, if you don't get there between 11:45 and 12, don't blame me. All right? Don't blame me. I've been given the gift of time. The time is... Well, it'd be wonderful if really it could stop for us. It'd be wonderful if things could be different, but it's just not that way, is it? It's very difficult. And we have to experience the struggle and the difficulties, life's beginnings and endings, and the initiation of one thing on one hand and the completion of another. And life has all of these different things and experiences. And then look in verse 4. Because he describes these various emotions, life doesn't allow us to escape the hurts and the sorrows of life. We can't escape them. Notice what he says. There's a time to weep, and there's a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn. And that other part, we don't know that it's really inspired. We Baptists, okay? Can I say that right here? It's a time to dance. Right there. Now, I got to say this, and certainly I'm not against all forms of dancing, although much of it is lewd. I just want to give my disclosure about dancing, okay? While much of it is, certainly there's some that is very, very, I think, appropriate. It's an expression. But I want to say this about these verses, because you can read any sentence and phrase and say, see, I've got a proof text for about anything I want to believe. Don't go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 to develop a theology for your life. Certainly an understanding of who God is, but this complex theology and justification for all kinds of things that people come out of Ecclesiastes 3 with. And I know there was a movie several years ago, and this is one of those passages that was quoted. Well, you know something? Go and enjoy yourself in some wholesome kind of dance, but my soul, please don't get engaged in some of the stuff that is called wholesome and certainly is ungodly. Well, anyways, so there's my little soapbox message right there. That's really not what this passage is talking about, but since you've distorted it, I thought I'd try the same. Verse 4, again, what is he saying? There are life's hurts, there's a time to weep and a time to mourn. Things that happen, we can't escape them. Things that go on in our lives. Things that happen that we wish we could change. But there's a time to laugh. And thank God for those opportunities. There are appropriate times and certainly a time to dance. He's talking about these various experiences. Be with a group of students that are excited and energetic, and you will find yourself laughing with them and enjoying them. And let me say this, students and young people, this is why I hear seeing your adults say, we love to have teenagers around. This is why people in the nursing home love to have a young person come up and touch them. And I know some of you have actually, in our youth, have visited the nursing home. And that's a little hard at first, especially if you don't have grandparents who are alive and you've not related a lot to senior adults. But just to go up and touch them, there's something really healing about that experience. They want that. And there's something very valuable to you if you'll experience the wisdom that comes through those who have grown through the seasons of life. And so there are these various experiences here. The joy of a newborn and the difficulty of standing at the bedside of someone who's been told that they have a terminal illness, a time to grieve, a time to mourn. Whoa, wow. What's going to happen? But these are all times that God can use. For instance, somebody who's been told, you have a terminal illness, you have 6 months to live. That's difficult for a family. Very, very difficult for a family to experience that. But I think about that, and I consider that, and I think, what is the difference between that news and the news of some man who's worked well, and he's worked out at the plant for all these years, and he's worked for 35, 40 years, and just close to retirement, and he comes home one day, and he's reading his newspaper, and he has a heart attack. And he dies. What's the difference in that? He doesn't know the Lord. There's no chance to get life in order. But somebody who's been told, hey, you have 6 months to live, I mean, then you got a chance. Think about it. What is life really about? God can use so many different circumstances in our life to try to shake us up, and He can use the circumstances. He does not necessarily create them, although sometimes He does, and I'm not God. I can't tell you when He does and doesn't do that. You'll have to discern that for yourself, but certainly you need to understand that God's presence is important in the midst of everything that we're going through. I believe that God has allowed time in our lives to experience His presence. It's the context in which God says, I'm here right now in time with you. I'm here. And then something else in verse 5. He says there's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. Life's relationships require different responses at different times. Life. Relationships. Notice what he says in the last part of verse 5. There's a time to embrace and there's a time to refrain from embracing. There's a place for all of these things to occur. And they do occur. In fact, on the one hand, there's a time to cast away stones, another time to gather them. In an agricultural society, it's very possible that what Solomon was talking about was in the process of cultivating the earth, that they would take the stones and they would remove them and just push them aside. There was no need for the stones as they cultivated the earth. But on the other hand, they needed the stones, and so there was a time to gather them, and they would take them, and they would use them, and they would build fences, and they would use them for their homes, and certainly fences for their for their animals and so forth. And so there was a time for both. There's a time to take the stones out. There's a time to use the stones. And he's just saying that life is full of relationships, different responses, and depending upon the time. Now, some people take this passage of Scripture, and you know what they do with it? It's sort of like a fortune cookie. I call it fortune cookie theology. If you've ever eaten out at a Chinese food restaurant, I mean, that's one of the highlights is actually eating the fortune cookie. For me, I mean, I'm into cookies. Now, the messages are not all that important to me, but I have brought some. I've got some right here. In fact, Austin and Tyler, you're going to come right up here and you're going to read these. Come right up here. You two fellas, right up here. Just hurry. You got to hurry because these sermons get long when people don't participate. They get real long. And God's going to just let you pick one out. I want you to read those. Just pick whatever one you want. And as you're trying to pick that out, I just want you to know a lot of people treat the Bible like a fortune cookie. Let me open it up and maybe it's got something to say to me. What does yours say, Tyler? You can break the cookie because if you don't eat it, I will, see?
A time to keep and a time to cast away.
Yeah, what does it say on the back?
Sorry, no lottery number.
Okay, yeah. Good. That's good. That's all right. Go ahead, Austin.
The right time to love and another to hate. The right time to wage war and another to make peace.
All right. What does the back of yours say?
See Jeremy for lottery number.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. You got to be careful these fortune cookies you open up. Jeremy, what's this with the lottery number thing? You know, I love Chinese food, and you probably love the same. You enjoy eating it, but there's something about the cookies. Something about that cookie. Open it up. And some people live their life like that. They read it and think, oh, that must have something to do with me. You're going to have an unusual encounter today. You know what that could describe? 1,000 different things in my life. Unusual encounter. I mean, they're so generic. They're so... you know, so new age, just sort of read it and you start believing it. And pretty soon you get hooked on it. You start reading your horoscope in the paper. And I hope you don't do that. But anyways, you start doing that. And people who are looking and searching start reading the horoscope saying, I can live my life. Somebody needs to know what's going on in my life. And if I can pay her $50, she can read the palm of my hand and tell me all the life's experiences that I've ever had and the things that are going to happen in my life. And pretty soon life is lived that way. Fortune cookie theology. I'm so glad that the Bible is not a fortune cookie, aren't you? There are many life principles that we need to gather, and these are some of the principles that Solomon is wanting us to walk away with. And so in verse 6, he says there's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. Life's pursuits, and we talked about this a little bit last week, have beginnings and endings, and they have transitions and things that go on. Transitions. Nothing in this world is forever. Nothing. Nothing in this world is forever. And so God has given us this precious gift. Precious gift of time to live it out. Notice what he says in the last part of verse 6. There's a time to keep and there's a time to cast away. You ever known a pack rat? I mean, they have everything. They have the newspapers for the last 15 years of their life. They're sitting right over there. I guess it's a part of rewriting history. If you could take those, you know, I don't know why they keep those things. They have everything. You have every little, I know some of you, I'm not going to mention your name. Some of you, and it's not a pack rat really, but you've got all your childhood toys. Keeping all those things. It's sort of novel, aren't they? And they're neat. In fact, I've kept some of my boys, they're little G.I. Joes. I like G.I. Joes, and for years we used to buy them G.I. Joes, you know, always a little G.I. Joe. And some of them are still in the box, and they're just keepsakes. I didn't use your names, so there's no $5. So we've got those boxes, and I was going through cleaning and doing some work at the house. And I was looking and I saw these boxes and I thought, that's what we have them for. We have boxes to keep their toys in someday. I don't consider our home to be, you know, that we're pack rats or anything. But But maybe we are. I don't know. I'm just, you know, ashamed to admit it. I don't know. But some of y'all are. I mean, you're all into the garage sales. You're not a pack rat. You're ready to throw it away. And you'll have a garage sale every week. I mean, you just want to get rid of it. Put a price tag on it. Sell it. Life has things worth keeping and things that need to be thrown away, don't they? Things worth keeping and things that need to be thrown away, on and on. And then in verse 7, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. And these principles, just over, life can be torn apart quickly, can't it? It's very difficult to sew up that which has been torn. Very difficult when you think about friendships, you think about your relationship with your spouse, things that you've done that have torn at the fabric of the relationship. It's much easier to tear it than it is to mend it. It's very difficult, isn't it? That's what he's talking about here. Tearing apart happens rather quickly. Sewing together, it just takes time. Thank God for time, because today we have some time to do some sewing. If we've done some tearing. And then the last part of verse 7, a time to keep silent and a time to speak. Few words have great power when they're spoken at the right time. Few words have great power when they're spoken at the right time. And I'm just moving through these very quickly. But in verse 8, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Please don't use that as a justification for war. Or as a position against war. That's really not what he's talking about. He's just saying that life is full of these various experiences. Life has an opportunity to choose the right emotions. We can make those choices. In fact, Ecclesiastes 3 was John F. Kennedy's, one of his favorite passages in the Bible. And while the nation was singing that song, as we heard from the birds last week, and John F. Kennedy was assassinated. Assassinated. We're in the midst of war, singing songs and killing our president. What's up with this? Social turmoil and upheaval going on all around us. We ought to hate evil. The scripture tells us that we should. We need to seek the Lord. On and on, and he talks about. But let me just say this in closing this morning. That wherever you are in your time of life and season, God has a purpose in it. He said, I didn't choose it. I know. There were some things that you chose. And some of those things that you chose have just been wonderful, haven't they? And then some choices that you made were not circumstantial. There were choices you made and things that you're living with. But God still can bring a purpose out of the most painful experiences of life. You just simply have to ask the Lord who gave life and time to us to enter into your space, to step into the center of your picture in life and say, Lord, I have excluded you and I have relegated you to the outside, to the perimeter of my life at best. I keep you at a distance because I know that if I allowed you into the center, that I allowed other things to be replaced by you, it would change my life. People might even consider me to be a fanatic or some great fanatical person for Christ. And I don't know that I really want that. I don't know where you are. Maybe it is the life circumstance that something has happened and you're saying, I wish it would be different. But let me say, as nice as I know how, but as clearly as I know how, it happened. And the kids say this, build a bridge. He said, well, I can't do it. Well, I suggest that you invite the Lord into your life. And not just people who do not know the Lord, those of us who know the Lord, it's time to build a bridge. And realize that God can do some good things. Let's build a bridge. Because God really does hold all the time in his hand. Father, God, I realize I'm speaking this morning and with so many people here that life's experiences, they've had them all. They just had them all. Things that have been well beyond their control. Things that have happened that they had nothing to do with. Some things that they chose. But I'm thankful, Lord, that while there are times in which we grieve and we, Lord God, when we cast away, but there are also times when there is rejoicing and there is a dancing and there is, Lord, your presence that fills us and causes us to rise above the circumstance, to emerge out of the ashes. And I thank you, Lord, that you dust us off and you cause us like the phoenix to rise above what life has dealt us. I pray, Father, that you will give courage to each person here today to face the reality of life. And Lord, also to rejoice in the good things, the many, many good things that do happen. Help us, Lord, as Christians to rise above the spirit of the cynic. And Lord, to rise above the difficulties. I pray, Father, for those here today that need to trust you. They know you exist. All the evidence is in. They look around and they see that you are real. They drive away from this place knowing that this couldn't all have happened because of chance. It had to happen because of divine design, because you are that one who created all that we call this world. And Lord, I pray that it'll convince them as they turn to you and realize that in your divine plan to establish a place for us to live in time, in a world to experience your presence, that they will know that as marvelous as you are in your creation, as great as you are in your design and the things that have happened and that can be seen, that, Lord, you are even greater in your plan of redemption and salvation. Because broken as we are, you came to fix us. All of our sin, disrupting your plan, all of our rebellion, all of our choices that left us with our back turned to you, God, you still loved us. And we thank you for that. We praise you that as our Redeemer this day, that every heart will confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he alone is capable of fixing their life, of saving their soul, of forgiving them. God, I pray for that today, that every person would understand the reality of your goodness that is being expressed to them this morning. They will know that and believe that truly you are the Son of the living God and that there's none like you, not a one. That is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.